Well, before I knew that it was definitely me who should bring the word this morning, I did give James an opportunity and Eric an opportunity. Both of them said that it wasn't the right time for them. So if you don't like my message this morning, blame one of them. And then after Eric said he had nothing, I thought he was going to preach, which he almost did. Appreciate the words you shared to start with, and thank you, James, for leading us in praise and worship this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 6. The title of my message this morning is 16. Yes, count them, 16 aspects of faith. Dear Lord, we're going to be here all day, somebody said. You ever heard of a 16 bean soup? Well, this is sort of like 16 bean soup. It's 16 aspects of faith. I have never in my life, before I preached this message, had a message with so many points in it. I would tell anybody and everybody not to do such a thing. But yet I did it. But I think it's important that we understand that faith is not a subject that can be easily understood. It is multifaceted, and each one of these aspects that we'll get into could be and should be a sermon on their own, at least a sermon, if not weeks of sermons on their own. But in order for us to have a real good concept of faith, if we look at the thing in a big picture and look at the whole thing, it's like a giant painting that's got so much going on in it. One of the old masters who painted so carefully, so many details in the painting. You see the whole painting, but you could spend a long time just looking at one part, one aspect of a painting. Maybe a dog on a rug beside a fire. And so much detail in that, you could spend a long time looking at it. And those things are there. But this morning we want to look at the big picture and get a better understanding of what faith is, because it's so important to our lives. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what is faith? Without faith it's impossible to please God. If you can please God through no other way than exercising faith, wouldn't it be important to know, if your heart is to please God, what true faith is? Well, that's what we want to get to this morning. What is faith? And like I said, I have 16 aspects of faith, and after I did this, I thought of a couple more, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to keep it at 16. First of all, faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. We don't manufacture faith. Mankind is completely impossible for man to manufacture the God kind of faith. Now, we all exercise faith. There's faith in the human realm, which doesn't take the God kind of faith. It doesn't take God giving us that faith. It is through what we're told and what we experience in life. You sit in a chair, you sit in a chair a few times, then later on you go to sit in another chair, you sit in it, and you have faith in a human sense that that chair is going to hold you and not break to pieces, and you fall back and crack your coconut open. That's a human kind of faith. But that is just comes through life. It comes through experience. It comes through somebody telling you. It comes through your parents saying, it's okay, it's safe. But the God kind of faith can only come as a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. I'll give you a lot of scriptures today. If you would, you can turn to them. If I'll read to them pretty quickly, so you might want to just listen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The faith that you received to be saved, to accept Jesus and to repent, that faith is a gift of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we find out, I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians, there's a passage that says that concerning wicked and unreasonable, there are wicked and unreasonable men, that all men don't have faith. It seems like there's a contradiction in Scriptures, because he said he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. In another place it says that all men don't have faith. Let me just throw this out there. When there are two things in the Word of God that seem to contradict themselves, one another, the contradiction is not a real one. It just seems that way, and further digging and further understanding and revelation will prove that they don't contradict one another. They either complement one another, or there's some other qualifier that would make one statement true in a particular setting, but not true overall. Hence, when we talked about women's role in the church before, we came across some scriptures that looked in at first reading that a woman should never ever speak in church. But when you find other scriptures that show that a woman could prophesy and when she pray, and these are in assembly, then we see that there's obviously something, there's two apparently contradictory scriptures. So something in context must give greater revelation and understanding that something was said here, and if you take it in its context, you see that it's applicable to that context and not overall. So let's back up. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he said, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." So here's the context for this scripture. He's saying, I'm speaking to every man that is among you. He was writing to the church in Rome. He was writing to the Romans. And so he's saying, to those that are among you, God has given you the measure of faith. So God has given to every man the measure of faith. Every Christian has been given the measure of faith. That was the measure you received when you were born again. And that measure is God's measure. And everybody, I believe, receives the same measure of faith. We'll find out later on that our faith can grow or not. And it's our responsibility for our faith to grow. But God gives us the measure. What we do with it is how we use our faith. But that's when the scriptures, it says, God has given to every man the measure of faith. He's talking about every man among you. And when he says all men don't have faith, he's talking about not everybody has been given that, because not everybody has humbled themselves and turned to God and said, God, I need you. Okay? So that's just a rule for anybody who wants to be a serious student of the Bible. If you come across something that's contradictory, it won't be when you begin to look in it further. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Faith is a gift of God. Faith comes from God. Point number one. Aspect number two. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Currency. What is the currency in the United States? Is it the British pound? Is it the Mexican peso? Is it the Australian dollar? Is it the Canadian dollar? No, it's the U.S. dollar. I have invoices that I send out to customers. When there are customers that are their payment center is in Mexico, I have to put on their USD after the amount for US dollars. It has to be clear. I don't want to get paid in pesos. I'm not going to get as much if I get paid that amount in pesos. I want to get paid in U.S. dollars. Currency is what we use to obtain things. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. God is moved by our faith. Oh, if we can only just get this point. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. God is moved by your faith, not by your need or not by your plead. God is not moved because you plead long enough and loud enough. There is a sense in where you hear the parable that Jesus told about the woman who kept pleading and going to God. The King James says it was because of her importunity. That's not what her pleading. It was her unashamedness. That's what that word means. Her boldness. She came boldly and unashamedly because she believed that He was a righteous judge and He would do that for her. It was really her faith that did it. God is not moved by your need. To go and continue to express to God how bad off you are and the fact that you really, really, really need it. I really, really, really need to be healed. I really, really, really need this money. Continuing to tell God your need does not move God. He cares about your need, but that's not what releases His virtue into you or His power into your life or your situation. Faith moves God. It was faith that caused Jesus to turn and say, "Who touched me?" There were many people touching Jesus that day in the crowd where the woman with the issue of blood crawled through and she said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. It was her faith that caused virtue to flow out of Jesus. Everybody had need. Everybody was curious. Giving it a try is not good enough. But reaching out in faith because you know Him to be good and you know Him to be a man that or a God that honors His Word. You know Him to be good and faithful and you believe Him and take Him at His Word. Faith moves God. Number three, faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is believing and acting on truth received from God and His messengers. Faith is believing and acting on the truth that you receive from God or God's messengers. Fear is believing and acting on lies received from Satan and his messengers. I don't know if you know it or not, but there are people that are speaking, thus saith the Lord. There are people who will speak into your life words that will build faith because they're telling you what God has to say about your situation. And I don't know if you recognize it or not, but there are people who will speak into your life and they'll speak words of doubt, they'll speak words of unbelief, they'll speak things that destroy your faith. They are the people who speak on behalf of God are speaking God's Word and they're speaking truth. And they'll inspire faith in you if you'll let it. But there are those who will speak and speak words that bring doubt, bring confusion, tear down, and bring fear. Fear is crippling. Faith is enabling. When you're full of faith, you feel enabled. You feel powerful. You feel like you can do it in His name. That it is possible. That it will work. That things will be okay. That is what faith does. Fear says, if I do, this bad thing will happen and that bad thing will happen and I'll never recover from this. Fear is crippling. Faith is enabling. And faith and fear are opposites of one another. Aspect number four. Faith believes and receives or makes personal the Word of God. Faith believes and takes in and makes personal the Word that God has spoken unto you. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God, listening to it preached, listening to it being spoken by your wife as she's talking to you. Yes, God will come through. My wife is a real good encourager to me. She's really good most times about telling me that there is hope, that we can make it, that God does have a plan. Reminding me of what God says about a situation. Faith comes by hearing God say it. Faith comes by hearing men say what God said. But faith comes most of all when you hear yourself say it. Faith comes by hearing. Nothing will build faith in you more than you speaking forth the Word of God. Number one, you're releasing power out of your own mouth when you speak the Word of God. But that power not only goes out and does something out there, that power comes back in and does something in here. It energizes you to hear yourself speak the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into His rest. For any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, because not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word of God was preached unto you. You mixed your faith with it, and it was profitable unto you. People who are not profited by the Word of God are not profited because they didn't mix faith with it. There is a faith that rises up when God's Word, and you either say, I'm going to cling to that and cause that faith to energize you, or you just let it go. And we don't want to be those who fall short of entering into His rest. Come short of it because we don't mix faith with it. Real faith can only be in God's Word, nothing else. You cannot have faith in what you think. You cannot have faith in what you hope will happen because you really desire it bad enough. I wanted a motorcycle when I was a kid growing up. I wanted a motorcycle so bad. You know what? I never got one. When I became an adult and I got married, every now and then I would have a dream that I was going through my dad's garage. And I was digging through stuff because he always had stuff in his garage. And I came across my motorcycle. And I think, there's where it is. I always wanted one. I don't now, so don't anybody feel like you got to go out and buy me one. I don't really have a strong desire now, but I did when I was growing up. But desire, having a desire, isn't the same as faith. Faith is hearing what God says that He wants for you, agreeing with that and believing that He can do it. Faith, real faith, can only be in God's Word, nothing else, and it'll come through the written Word as revealed by the Holy Spirit, or it could also come through the prophetic Word. A lot of people in today's church don't believe in that, but we do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and Jason referenced this, I believe last week it was, in his message. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." He told Timothy to hold fast to the Word of God that came to him through the word of prophecy, which was prophesied over him when the presbytery had laid their hands on him and prayed and prophesied over him. Real quickly, it's important to note, only receive prophetic words that are spoken and have been judged by trusted men and women of God. Anybody coming up to you and said, "God's given me a word for you," that is not necessarily a prophetic word. It may be, it may not be. You have to judge. And if you can't judge it yourself, take it to somebody else who's above you spiritually and ask them to help you judge that word. Is this really a word from God? I've had so many people over the years give me a word from God. Everything that from God is going to make me someone known all over the world and I'm going to be famous, to God is going to crush me like a grape. I've had the whole gamut prophesied unto me. "Crush me like a grape" wasn't their exact words, but that's the that was the feeling that you got from it. God was going to judge me severely. Judge. Someone speaking prophetically in your life, over your life, are they trusted? Do you trust their walk with Christ? You know, if somebody comes to me and brings me a prophetic word and tries to speak something over me and they're a mess, I'm going to reject it right off. If they're living in sin, if their life is a shambles, I believe, I'll say this to God, "God, if that's really a word from you, then bring that same word through a trusted source. I'll hear it. I'll receive it. Have somebody I know has a relationship with God speak that to me, and I'll believe it." But prophetic words, let's just be careful. They have to come through people who are known to walk with God, and that all prophecies should be judged. You judge it in your spirit. Also, allow other prophetic people, known to be prophetic people, to judge a prophetic word. I'll just quickly throw in the story. When I was at a church in England one time, I went down front to pray for someone who had... They had an altar call, and a lot of people responded. So the pastor of the church said, "You believers out there who have the Spirit of God in you, who feel that God wants you to come up and pray with somebody, just come up and pray. Just lay your hands on them and pray." So I was just visiting the church, but the offer was open, so I came down and I started to pray with somebody. Then after it was over, a real big, tall guy — there's not this many big over in England when I was there, but this guy was taller than me and a little bit wider than me, a little bit heavier than me. He was a big guy. And I had met him before, and we had talked before, and he was I guess he had an affinity with me because I was a fairly big guy too, and maybe the Spirit of God, you know, there was a connection there. But anyway, he came over to me. "Oh, brother!" He gave me a big hug, and he squeezed me tightly to himself, and he had one of my ears pressed against his shoulder, and the other of my ears pressed against his neck. And then he began to talk, and after a while, as he was talking and hugging and you know, I was understanding that he was prophesying over me. But all I heard was and then after he was finished his big long prophecy, he held me at arm's length. He said, "Now, brother, you tell me when that comes to pass." I didn't have the heart to tell him, "I didn't hear a word you said." I figured at that point that God was smiling right along with me, and we were all going to go about His way. And if God really had a word for me, He'd make sure I heard it. Number five, faith recognizes God as our only source. Not just as a source, but our only source. Faith, true faith says, God is the only one who will satisfy my need. God is the only one who can make me happy. God is the only one that I look to. I might receive my paycheck from ABC Company, but God is the one pulling the strings. So if ABC Company goes broke, God's still on the throne. God can find another way of getting it to me. God is my source. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, remember we read it earlier, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Is what? Anything you need. Everything you need. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's everything. He's my all in all. Remember when Moses was told by God to go to Egypt and to bring his people, God's people, out of bondage. And Moses, by this time, he was thinking, "Who am I? I've tried that. I've been there. Been there, done that. Got the Moses t-shirt. I can't do that. Who am I, God? Who am I going to say is sending me?" What did God say? Tell him, "I am sent you." I am what? The I am and the He is the same thing. I am everything. Faith says you are everything. He is everything. I am speaks to me. I am supplies my need. And that He is rewarder of them in Hebrews. Not only is He there and can He do it, and He is the source, He's the source. I like to what they used to say back in the day when I first came into the kingdom. Said people would be in the front, and you know that's the place to be because they wanted to get under the spout where the glory came out. And you know you want to be where God can channel things to you, and believing that there is a place where the glory comes out. That place is in Christ. It's in God. It's faith in God. That not only can He do it, but He will do it. Amen? Amen. You know, it's a tyrant who can do something for you but won't. We don't serve that kind of God. When we touch God in faith, He will do it. Jesus didn't say, "Have faith in God, for if you believe in your heart, don't doubt in your heart, whatsoever things you say shall come to pass." He didn't say some of them. He didn't say every now and then. He didn't say once a month. He said whatsoever. Faith is believing that not only He is the source, but He is a source that never fails. Number six, faith diligently seeks Him. Well, I tried that faith stuff. It didn't work. I did that for a week. I did that one day once. Faith diligently seeks Him. He is a rewarder of them, as we said, who diligently seek Him, who apply their faith. Now we're bringing in the woman who came to Him unashamedly. Now the woman with boldness, who persisted in her boldness. And Jesus said, if you knock and continue to knock, the door will be open. If you seek and continue to seek, you shall find. There is something about our constancy. There's something about our persistence that proves to God and to ourselves and to others we truly are in faith and not just in want. Faith says, I'm going to get it. I know God wants to give it. I've heard Him, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to stay hooked up to God until I do. Saints of the old saints used to hear them say, talk about prayer, and they'd often say concerning prayer about praying through. And I never did get that as a young man. I'm praying through. You pray, then you're through. You know, that's how I kind of saw it. But you pray until you have an assurance that it is yours. You stay hooked up to God until you are in faith. Until you know that you know that you know that what God has promised not only may be yours or might be yours or should be yours, but it is yours. Don't turn away from God in your hour of crisis. Turn to Him. This is where so many people go wrong. We're in faith. We believe we're in faith. We think we're standing. And then all of a sudden a storm blows. And then turn away from God. Brothers and sisters, that's the very time to hold on to God with all you got. Storms come. I've had some storms this week. I've had some things that have shook me. Shouldn't have. I should know by now. But shook me to the core of my being. But I have found God to be faithful. God has restored me. Because I didn't quit. And we'll get to that more in a minute. Faith diligently seeks Him. Persist in seeking Him. Wanting to know, God, what do You really say about this situation? Not, okay, I think I know. Or this is how I was brought up. Or this, that, or the other. God, what are You really saying? Number 7. Faith makes choices that are consistent with God's will and purposes. Faith makes choices. Hebrews 11:24-27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Life is full of choices. Faith continually makes choices that give God something to bless and reward. Faith sees what is invisible to others. You make choices because you can see that God has spoken. You can see that there's an expected end. And you can make a choice to continue pursuing that even though everything within you and your mind is screaming out that you're treading some dangerous waters. But faith makes a choice. I'm going to continue to believe God. Hebrews 11:31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She didn't hang on with friends that were holding her down. Just because she grew up with them and just because she knew them, when she knew that there was truth, she was willing to even though Potiphar, I'm sure, was reluctant to do it, willing to believe God. And she found her salvation. Her faith saved her. If your friends are not encouraging you to have faith and to grow in faith and to live by faith, then you need to make a choice. Are these real friends? I don't think I'd be a real friend to Susan and a godly man in her life if I was trying to destroy her faith. My job is to help encourage her in her faith. Her job is to help encourage me in my faith, not to destroy it. You cannot soar with the eagles if you hang out all day with the buzzards. Number 8, faith speaks. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. God spoke the world into existence. Every man of God learns to speak his faith, not what he sees. Speak your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Are you speaking because you believe? Are you speaking from your faith? Are you doing what every natural man can do and discover the obvious? I used to say sometimes I had a keen sense of discovering the obvious. I think we all do. Our faith causes us to speak our faith. Speak what we see in the Spirit. Speak what perhaps others cannot see. Speak what others ridicule us about. But we see it, therefore we speak it. Speak words of faith over your situation, over your children, over your finances, over the direction that God is calling you, over the life of this church, over this community, over this nation. Speak words of faith. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words are like containers. Words contain either life or death. And as we speak, it's like a conveyor belt with containers on it. And if I'm speaking to Ricky, my words are coming out of my mouth, and they're dumping onto him either words of life or death. It's spiritual. Within my words, there are spiritual forces. There is spirit within my words, within your words. And people don't get that. And they speak death over things and over people. Faith speaks. Speak your faith. Number 9, faith does. James chapter 2 and verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Great men and women of faith are not just people of great dreams or of great talk. They are men and women of great action. Faith causes you to do. Faith will propel you and move you. You will be in a different place doing a different thing. You can take that all wrong and you can think that, you know, constant change for the sake of it is where it's at. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, again, believe God and do what God says He will do. He will take you in a deeper place. You ought to be, we ought to be, in a place where we are farther along today than where we were yesterday. We are doing things that we didn't dream of doing. I want to use my wife as an example. When I first met her, she was terrified of groups. She was okay one-on-one, but when it got into a group setting, all of a sudden she would disappear. And I remember when I first met her, I was drawn towards her spiritually and was interested in her, wanted to get to know her. And we were in a church group, and we were having a house fellowship, and the house was fairly full. And we were all sitting around, and she started out kind of right over there where I could see her. And we were worshiping the Lord, and I opened my eyes. And I want to look, you know, I'm worshiping the Lord, but I'm thinking about her too. That's okay every now and then. And I was thinking about her too, and I looked over, and she's not there anymore. And I look around the room, and I finally see her. I see her eye and part of her head behind somebody's shoulder, and she's back there hiding. And I said to her later on, after I got to know her better, I said, "Why do you do that?" She said, "Well, I just don't want to be this, you know, I feel uncomfortable when I feel like people are looking at me. I don't want to be the center of attention." And she just kind of... God has changed her. She's different today than what she was. She's still got that same thing on the inside of her. But by faith, she says, "I'm not going to let that hold me back." I've seen her walk up to a lady that she was preaching the gospel to. Big old heavy set lady. Big. And Susan was talking to her. And as she was talking to her, she lit up a cigarette, had a cigarette in her mouth. Susan went up, took the cigarette out of her mouth, threw it on the ground, stepped on it, and kept talking to her. I thought, I'm not even sure if I would have done that. But faith causes you to do things that you think, "My, how in the world did I do that?" I think about some of the things that God has had me to do in the past, or us to do as a family. And when God calls you, you have the faith to do it. You have God's grace and His ability to press on. And I think, I don't know if I'd do that today. But as a young man in my 20s with a young family, I was doing things that... You know why? Because I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard Him speak. I knew what He said to do. We're making decisions today that if it weren't for the Spirit of God instructing and telling and empowering, there's no way. No way. It costs too much. It's too hurtful. It's too painful. But faith causes you to do what God says to do. Number 10, faith grows. Jesus commended some people for having great faith. He rebuked others for having little faith. Remember, we've all been given the measure of faith. If you allow your faith to grow, and if you exercise your faith and it grows, then God, it pleases Him, and He commends people for their growth in their faith. And if you start off with the measure of faith and the faith doesn't grow and it sits there, and over time your faith should be here, but it's here, Jesus looks at it and says it's little faith, there's a rebuke for that. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, Paul's writing says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." He was praising them because their faith continued to grow. Faith grows. Number 11, faith takes risks. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." True faith will take you out of your comfort zone. Faith will cause you to attempt the impossible for His glory. if it is possible to do without God, it doesn't take faith to do it. True faith causes you to attempt and to accomplish the impossible. Faith will cause you to take risks. Number 12, faith persists in the face of adversity. Hebrews chapter 10, 35-39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Susan and I have learned in our walk of faith that we are to always, once we heard God, remember, you cannot have faith in anything other than knowing that you've heard God. Once you have heard God, we have found that you can't, that we are to keep going until we can go no further. If there's one more step to take, it doesn't look like, it doesn't matter if it looks like it's impossible. It looks like the next step will be the last step. Well, if it's the last step, so be it. I've got one more step to take. We have learned that by faith we need to take that one more step. Satan will try to tell you, you've only got one more step to go. There's only one more place you can move right there. Don't even bother. Quit now. And God's saying, take the step. Because when you do, there'll be another one. And sometimes our walk of faith has been like that. It's been one step, and then another one opens up. And another step, and then another one opens up. And before you open up into an easy place, a place where you have many steps ahead of you, where you can see and where your path is clear for a while, before you get to that place, oftentimes you go through that valley of the shadow of death, that place where you couldn't make it through unless you knew that He was with you. But if there's one more step to take in the direction that God calls you, if there's one more step to take, then take it. Keep going until you can't go any further. Number 13. Faith does not look back. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. And truly, if they, speaking about the children of Israel, had been mindful of that country, talking about Egypt, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Everything that God has for you is in front of you. You hear what I'm saying? Everything that God has for you is in front of you. Everything that is your direction, your life, your marriage, everything is in front of you. Look ahead to what God wants to take you to. What He wants to bring you into. What your marriage should be like. What the church should be like. What your finances should be like. Don't settle for what it is. So many people want to camp. Oh Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build a tabernacle here. Let's just stop right here. Let's celebrate where we are. Jesus said, no. I want you to go forward. And I certainly don't want you to look back. Don't lust after where you used to be. things used to be. I've got things in my mind of a time when things were so much easier than they are now. If I allowed myself, I could think about and try to live back in the day. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Some of you never had a day back there. Never had a good day back there. We had some good days. We had some times where I believe we were in revival. I didn't know at the time, but there was revival taking place. Things were so much easier for a period of time. And oftentimes people will look back and lust after what they had rather than press forward to what God has. Our life in God is ahead of us, not behind us. Your best days, if you will allow God to rule and reign your life, your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. I don't care how good it used to be. There's better ahead. Amen? Faith does not look back. Don't second guess an act of faith just because you are in a hard place. Don't second guess an act of faith just because it brought you into a hard place. This is so hard to know and learn because it's not intuitive. It's not something that the world teaches you. The world teaches you that if you make the right choice, it's immediately better. God teaches you, you make the right choice, you may be buffeted for it. The fact that you're being buffeted is not a sign necessarily that you're doing the wrong thing. It may be a sign that you're exactly where God wants you to be. But it depends. Did you hear the voice of the Lord in the beginning? Don't question in the dark what you have seen in the light. That came to my spirit, and I thought I must be quoting somebody else on that. I Googled that, and I went through every way of trying to find somebody else's quote on that, and nobody even came close. That may have come from the Spirit of God telling me. I don't know. I was more than willing to attach somebody else's name to that because it's so profound. If nobody else claims it, I'm going to. I'm going to give God the glory for it. But that is profound. Do not question. Don't question in the dark that which you have seen in the light. When you hear God speak and you know it's God and everything's good and yes, this is God, then all of a sudden the devil tries to do everything he can to get you off course. And the attack sometimes is so fierce, it'll rock you and shake you to your core. But that is not the time to question whether you heard God or not. Don't question in the dark that which you have seen in the light. I'm reminded of when I went to open up a bank account in England. And I was going through a similar time then of attacks and things going on. And you know, you start to doubt. It's just human nature. Start to doubt yourself. And I'm probably as guilty of that as anybody. You know, you don't have to try to beat me down. I'm pretty good at that myself. I'm constantly looking to God for faith to build me up. You know, I don't need a lot of things to humble me or humiliate me because I'm pretty good at doing that myself. So most of the thing that Susan tries to do with me is to encourage me in God because that's what I need. But you go through times like that where you start getting in this place and you're getting some spiritual opposition for what you're doing. You know you've heard God. You know you're going the right direction, but it seems like everything in the world is just coming unglued. And I was feeling like that one day and I had to open up a bank account in England. And I went to the window there, or to the personal banker, and I said, I need to open a bank account. And she said, okay, let me get the form. She got the form out, started filling it out, and name, gave her my name, national insurance number, It's an English thing. I gave her that. She said, occupation. I didn't feel much like a pastor at the time. I didn't feel much like God wanted to do anything with me. But I mustered everything I could in faith to say, I'm a pastor. And she said, a plasterer? And I said, yeah. So today, if my account is still, if they had my records, on my records at the Midland Bank in England, I'm on record as a plasterer. And I let it stay. I was feeling so bad about things. You know, you can't stay there. We're all going to get hit. We're all going to get knocked down. We're all going to get blown around. We're all going to have things shaken. But you got to get back to that place of faith. You know, and to live in the area where circumstances and forces of evil are trying to determine who you are is not a good thing. You have to live in what the Word of God says about you, what you know to be true when you have been in the light and when God's presence is all over you. Let me tell you something. It's not the presence of God that is taking you into a dark and gloomy place. It's not the presence of God that is making you feel like a worm. That is the devil. That is an attack of the enemy. And what you hear in those dark places is not the voice of God. So when you're being told you're worthless, you're no good, you can't do it, that is not the voice to hear and obey. The voice you heard when you were in the presence of God, that is what you should hear and obey. Faith does not look back. 14, we're getting close to the end. Faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. James chapter 4 verses 1 through 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and you have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Love seeks the blessing of others. True faith is exercised for the glory of God and the good of others. Ask yourself, healed? You want to be healed? For what purpose? That you might glorify God better, that you might serve Him better, that you might minister more effectively to the body of Christ? Financially blessed? For what purpose? That you might honor God with your finances, that you might have more to give to others, that you might make people comfortable, that you might be able to eat a healthy diet? Ask yourself, faith for what? The things that you're wanting to believe God for, what is the end of it? And if the good of others doesn't come into the picture, then it's not going to work. Faith works by love. Number 15, faith pleases God. It pleases God when we believe Him, when we look to Him, and when we put our total trust and confidence in Him, and when we obey Him. It pleases Him. It pleases Him when we call out to Him and say, God, I know You're faithful. I know You can do it. God, I'm experiencing this, that, and the other. Things are really tight right now. Things are difficult right now. Things in my marriage are troubled right now. Things in my finances aren't looking very good. Lord, things concerning Your direction for me spiritually, I'm going through a hard time, but God, I trust You. It pleases our Father when we look to Him. And number 16, faith blazes a trail and leaves a legacy. Hebrews chapter 11, 32 through 40. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about, Hebrews chapter 12, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There, Scripture says that there is a great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, those that have lived and died in faith, knowing that the job wasn't finished, but getting it as close to it as they could in their lifetime, pressing as far towards the mark as possible, leaving the next generation shoulders to stand on and direction to head in. Those witnesses are watching you. They're watching me, saying, don't let the team down. It's been a team effort throughout the ages. You are where you are today because of what we provided for you. Now, what are you going to do with it? So great a cloud of witnesses compassed around. There was a legacy left for us. Faith leaves a legacy. And your faith, if the Lord tarries, will leave a legacy for those who will follow. I want my life to be such that someone can say, I'm here where I am today, and I'm so far past where Brother Steve was. But I got there because of the stepping stone he was in my life. I want that to be said of me. Make that your aim. Make that your goal. Get as far as you can. And if you can get to where you, to the end, great. But if you can't get there, be faithful to the end, because you now become a stepping stone. Your life has been a trail for somebody else to follow. Your life has been a platform for someone else to stand on. And in closing, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You can follow somebody's faith when you see the end of their lifestyle, when you see where their life is headed. When you can watch them and you can see the trail that they're on and you can see where they're headed, and their words line up with their actions, and their feet line up with everything, and they're headed in a way. Those that are over you who have that kind of faith, the Bible says, follow their faith. Faith leaves a trail, blazes a trail, and leaves a legacy. 16 aspects of faith. Lord, give us revelation, deeper revelation concerning the faith that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.